ABC Radio Australia.
The Australian government's brushed off suggestions that changes it announced this week to its working backpacker scheme will in fact shut out Pacific workers from also working on Australian farms picking fruit and vegetables. On Monday, the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, announced an expansion of the working holiday visa program that will see more backpackers, generally from Europe but also Asian countries, able to work on farms here. At the same time, he did also announce, though, that Pacific Islanders coming on the seasonal workers program will also be able to stay for longer, 9 months up from six. But critics of the changes, who include Biman Prasan, who's the leader of the Fiji opposition party NFP, says far from creating more opportunities for workers from the Pacific, in practice the moves actually reduce those numbers.
What it means very clearly is that many of the farmers in Australia would find it better and easier to just go for backpacker programs.
Matthew Dornan from the Development Policy Centre at the Australian National University agrees. His
thoughts. To be honest, I think this is a quick fix from the government. The National Farmers Federation and the National Party had been pushing for an agricultural visa to address worker shortages on farms. The Pacific pushed back very strongly against that. There was a fear that employers would use the ag visa instead of the seasonal worker program. So the Morrison government said, OK, we're not going to proceed with this. However, now they've effectively introduced an ag visa through the back door.
That's Matthew Dornan from the ANU. Well, Australia's Minister or Assistant Minister for the Pacific, Anne Rustin, has rejected these claims. I spoke with her earlier.
Well, look, I would contend that that is absolutely not the case. And to a large extent, these two types of visas that we are using, both the working holiday visa and our seasonal workers and Pacific labour schemes, are actually two quite different forms of labour. Clearly, the level of short-term flexibility that exists with the working holiday visa allows people to work in some instances for much shorter terms than they would otherwise be doing on our two Pacific labour schemes. But one of the things I think we need to point to is the fact that we've seen such an extraordinary increase in the number of seasonal workers coming in from the Pacific over the last few years. I mean, a 40% year-on-year increase in the number of people coming. We're anticipating that we will be seeing nearly double the amount of people coming from the Pacific this year as last year, where we're estimating, you know, somewhere around 16,000 people working in Australia during this financial year, as opposed to just over 8,500 last year. And in combining with that, the changes that we've made and the announcement that the Prime Minister made about changes to our seasonal workers program, we'll only see that improve and increase over time.
Have you had any response from your colleagues in the Pacific in the last few, 24 hours or so in response to this, either supporting it and thanking the Australian government or raising any concerns?
I haven't personally had any contact. I mean, obviously I've seen that there was one comment out of Fiji in relation to it and, negatively in relation to the announcement by the Prime Minister. But that's the only comments that I've seen so far. But certainly I will be making sure that I'm engaging proactively with the Pacific to discuss any concerns that may be raised about the announcement. But I am very confident that I can allay any concerns of people in the Pacific that this is in no way, sort of sidelining or diminishing the level of commitment that we have as an Australian government to Pacific mobility. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Moving on to some other stories for the Pacific, and we've seen the historic vote in New Caledonia. Now, while they've said no to independence from France for now, it certainly was. The result was a closer one than had been expected. We've seen Australia's Foreign Minister, Maurice Payne, release a statement congratulating New Caledonia and recognising, she says, the important choice that they've made to remain a part of France. There's still two more votes potentially that can be held, so this is not an issue that's yet resolved. But how important does Australia consider it to be to have an ally like France still in New Caledonia in this Pacific region?
Well, look, certainly, I mean, obviously the issue of the current status and the future status of New Caledonia is a matter for the people of New Caledonia. And no matter what the outcome of this referendum had been or future referendums, we will continue to engage with New Caledonia because they have such an important economic trade and they're a big diplomatic player in the region. But equally, we will continue to work with France because, as you rightly say, they are an important partner for Australia. They're also a very important partner in the Pacific. You know, we share, the same values, common interest in stability and security in the region. So we would, regardless of whatever the outcomes may be of future referendum, would remain engaged both with New Caledonia and with France, because we see them both as very important players in the Pacific.
To Nauru, we're hearing that more families have been flown off the island, 8 kids, 25 people in total left on Monday. Can you confirm that that has happened? And where are they going to be going to? Because what's not resolved yet is, while they're coming to Australia, they're being taken off of Nauru, as so many people have been advocating for. It's not clear what's going to happen to them. They can't be issued an Australian passport or a visa as established by your government.
Well, obviously, this is a matter for the Department of Home Affairs, but as the Prime Minister has said time and time again, you know, we've always been committed to quietly, systematically go about the process of resettlement of everybody who is seeking to be resettled, whether they're on Nauru or on Manus. So, you know, the details of the individuals that you are talking about, I mean, I can't confirm or deny whether the figures that you're quoting are correct, because I don't actually know. But certainly we will, as a country, you know, honour our commitment to say that we will make sure that we see these people resettled to third party countries. But what's actually happening and the details of these individuals, firstly, I'm not aware of the details of the individuals, and secondly, it's obviously not something I'd comment about anyway. But, you know, we are absolutely committed to doing what we promised to do, and that was to resettle these people in third-party countries.
And third-party countries, though, at this stage, does not look like it's going to be New Zealand. The offer there for them to take 150. The government's made it pretty clear in the last few days that this has been taken off the table again, arguing that security advice being received now is that that might restart the boats. But I wonder if so many of these people are still being brought to Australia. We're seeing them come here for medical treatment. Wouldn't that equally, you know, be enough momentum to start the boats as well, if we're looking at that same argument?
Well, I mean, obviously there's a very clear balance that has to be, a judgment call that has to be made here. Obviously the health and well-being of the individuals is something that is a high priority, and if that requires them being brought to Australia for medical treatment, then you know, obviously that is a priority that's obviously one that we would take very seriously.